Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Plus, get free premium delivery on any bed with base. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store today.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Yeah, the podcast is going to be from Monday to Saturday, but Sunday is going to be like off. So today's podcast is going to be about neuroplasticity. This is an interesting term, actually, in neuroscience that a lot of people neglect when they go about their life. So what is it? This is like the brain's ability to change its structure and respond to certain experience or learning or injury or like your environment around you. So when we talk about neuroplasticity, we always talk about change because it is directly related to it. So the saying goes, is that if you're young, or the younger you are, the easier for you to learn things, right? Especially for languages, right? You have to be young. There is this thing called the critical period hypothesis in learning. And they say from birth until you are 12 or like 18 years old, learning is accelerated, right? So kids or children can learn really fast because their brain is very plastic. Their brain is like at the peak, so they can learn anything faster. Their accents, if they learn a language, they can learn a language like native speakers. If you put them in an environment where that language is taught, they will pick up the language like native speakers. That's why you might notice, like, your kids, since you give them like tablets, or like if they study in English or American schools, they tend to have very good pronunciation compared to your pronunciation or to someone that is older, right? So in a way, the younger you are, the easier for you to learn things. That's why they say you should learn as many things as you can when you are young, because past 25, it gets really difficult to change, right? And some people think it's impossible to change. And this neuroplasticity came to like debunk this idea that we actually don't change, right? We don't change that much after a certain age, after 2025. If you want to learn English and you're, let's say, 30 years old, there is no way you're going to get the American accent. There is no way you're going to get the British accent, because that's it. Like, your brain is already wired and it cannot change. But what neuroscience studies show that your brain actually can restructure itself even after 2025. If you like really push it, you can restructure your brain, meaning that accent you're aiming to have at age 60 or age 50 or 70, you can still have it. You can still have the American accent when you learn English, or the British accent when you learn like British. So it's not something that is too far gone and that's it. And then you cannot really learn or become better anymore. It's just that the only difference between you learning at, let's say, at age 40 and someone learning at age 10 is how easy it is for someone to pick a language. When you are young, you can pronounce a lot of sounds. Your ability to pronounce universal sounds is like crazy. Like you can speak French or Italian or Spanish with the exact accent, right? You can speak even Chinese with a Chinese accent. You don't sound different, right? Because again, it's all about your oral cavity. Back then, at that age, it's not fully developed, so you can easily change and you can easily pick up an accent, right? But if you compare that child to someone who is 40, it's not easy. Yes. I'm saying it's possible, but it's not easy. It's like your brain is already wired to which accents or familiar to which sounds you should produce, right? So when you try to learn like a new word or a new sound, your brain kind of like hesitates, you know, because you're not used to it. Sometimes it becomes almost impossible for you to get to that accent. Again, at age 40 or so, or 50 or 60, you need to rationalize it. It's not going to be more of like a subconscious process. It's going to be a conscious effort to do things, right? It's like you're telling your brain, look, I have to change this. I have to do this. I have to do that. And it will change, but it needs a lot of effort. It will take years to learn at an older age compared to probably a couple of months or maybe less than that if you are young. But the interesting thing, if you're born into like, especially with accents, if you're born into a country where they have like already sounds that are universal that can be produced everywhere. For example, if I'm American and I'm 40 and I want to pronounce the sound, right? It's going to be very difficult for me to change or to pronounce that sound because it doesn't exist in my language or a sound. Those sounds exist in Arabic and also in Moroccan dialects and other dialects. So we don't really like suffer that much. We don't have a problem if we want to learn like a different dialect. Even if you want to learn another language, most of the time sounds are very, very close. And that's why when we learn like another language, we tend to, at a later stage, we tend to have an accent because the T's in Arabic, we tend to do like a translation. The T's in French are not the T's in English. The T's in Arabic are not the ta in Arabic is not the T in English, right? We have in English, when vowels and consonants interact, there is this softening, depends on the environment, there is this hardening of the sound, depends on where the context. So sounds aren't always pronounced the same. There is in English this aspiration. T's are followed by this H sound. T's and T and K and then P, these three sounds, they tend to be followed by this H sound whenever you have them. Let's say there is a vowel before them, but not when there is a consonant before them. Like S, if S before these consonants, the rule does not work. But again, so I learned English when I was old. I was not young when I learned English. And I'd say I'm at a very comfortable level. I think I'm fine. I still need to learn. I still need to improve a lot. There are certain things I'm not able to hit yet. But I think you can do it. If I did it when I'm old, you can do it too. The process that I went through is like, I went, when my brain was saying something, I'm like saying something entirely different. I'm like, I can do it. People were saying, no, there is no way you're going to get an accent at this age. There is no way you're going to get this. There is no way you're going to get that. I did not care what people said. I was obsessed with psychology. I liked this idea of neuroplasticity. And it's just, I was mesmerized. I was like, yes, I can change. I can become like a native speaker. If I put more hours, more efforts into it, and yes, I can change, right? And yes, you definitely can change. You have to put tremendous effort, and it's going to be a lot of conscious efforts, like understanding the sounds. A lot of people tend to neglect like sounds or spoken English. Sounds are very important, or it's called phonetics. If I were to tell you one lesson as an language learner, one lesson that you really need to focus on, it should be stress. Very, very, very important one. Because every language is different. English is a very rhythmic language, so syllables have different weight. You don't pronounce the R always as R. Sometimes it's going to be changed to if it is not stressed. So you have to pay attention to stress, right? There are a lot of, if again, you really want to improve your pronunciations, these are the list of lessons that I really think you should listen to. So there is vowel combinations or vowel consonant combinations. If you have an idea of these particular, there are certain combinations of vowels that give you a certain pronunciation. When you read or when you speak, it's going to be easier for you to generalize the pattern, right? There is intonation. Intonation is also a good lesson to learn, right? ED or AS pronunciation, those are very important. Instead of saying halpte, you can say helped. It's going to improve your pronunciation by miles. So, again, let's go back to the idea of neuroplasticity is that, yes, do not lose hope. Do not say that I'm a certain age, that I'm old and I cannot learn, and there is no way I'm gonna get a new accent. Some people like comfort zones. They say, I just want to learn English. It doesn't matter. I don't care too much about an accent. But I'm telling you, once you get that accent, once you speak English like a native speaker, I feel like that's the apex of learning, right? Because you have to understand there was so much effort put into learning because you studied the sounds, how vowel works, you did a lot of shadowing, you did a lot of listening. So it's like you are going to be very, very, very advanced, the advanced level of learning, right? And you're going to be at some point, because most of the time we learn English just through textbook English. So you learn a lot of words, a lot of vocab, probably reading a lot. But the thing that most people tend to neglect, and most teachers tend to neglect, especially in my country, is the spoken English. Spoken English is, they don't really care too much about it. I feel like they've used outdated methods in teaching. So speaking is not really good. And even if there is a speaking, if a teacher is a creative one and they implemented teaching activities in the class, you have like 40 students. How are they going to get 2 minutes each, probably per session? That's what they're gonna get. But the teacher has to talk, right? So yeah, 2 minutes would not be enough for you to improve, right? Especially your pronunciation. So you have to talk to others, you have to listen, you have to discuss content with others just to improve. It has to be like a balance. 50% of your English learning should be speaking. Because speaking also gives you this confidence to be able to talk in front of a lot of people. And most of the time you have the words, but you don't have the confidence to say the words, which is challenging sometimes, right? So yeah, this is your solution to change. This is, again, I'm a teacher, so I only relate this to what I teach. But you can generalize neuroplasticity to anything that you are learning, learning piano, learning violin. It's something actually I want to learn. I want to learn violin. I know a lot of people say you have to learn music when you're young, but I need to learn the violin, although I am like 32 years old. So I want to learn the violin. I know a lot of people say past your age, but I want to learn it because it's. I know I can change. I know I can do it. And so far, anything that I wanted to pick up, even at an old age, I can learn it. And I think you can do that too. You have to just do not set limitations for yourself and say you cannot do it. Ah, oh, you're old, you're this, you're that. No, you can. You have to just be consistent and do the efforts. I think most of you know the 10,000 hour rule. They say if you really want to master something, you have to spend 10,000 hours to do it. And once you do that, you are going to be like a master of that thing, right? So mastery takes like 10,000 hours. But yeah, hopefully like today's podcast, hopefully you're going to change your mind about change. And in the future, if you want to do something, if you want to study something new, learn that or know that you can actually do it because of neuroplasticity. All right then, everybody. Thank you for today's podcast. See you tomorrow. Bye.